Hello. Well, this is interesting. Don't. Just use this. Okay. There we go. Anyway, the stepfather. He's with a stepfather, and so they're not able to make it tonight. But he did want us to know that and be thinking of them. I don't know if Barry knew what I was going to mention tonight or what I want to talk about tonight, but the songs he selected just seem to go really well with the idea of finding peace of mind, because I believe this is something that God wants us to have. He wants every single one of us to be at peace with ourselves and especially at peace with Him. That was the prophecy of Jesus. Many years ago, before Jesus was ever born, it was prophesied many things about His life, but one thing especially is that He would be the Prince of Peace, that His name would be known as that. Unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so one of the key features of Christ is that of peace. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that He was able to make peace, especially between the Jew and the Gentile, by bringing both into one body, Ephesians 2 and verse 14. But that's true for all of us, that we all have peace as a result of it. It says that He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Verse 17 says, and He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. So again, peace is a product of Jesus Christ. And even though we can see this, and even though we can comprehend the fact that one of the things Jesus accomplishes is peace, so many people lack it. Even among the people of God, we have our moments where we don't have peace. But there is no peace of mind. And it causes us to experience various things that God never intended for us to experience. That it's possible for us as His people to be given to depression, addiction, drug abuse, and even that of suicide. And there are reasons for this. I mean, obviously it could be guilt and shame. That's a major factor in disrupting peace. You can also have just physical things going on with you. With even a reflection of your diet can have an effect on you mentally. There could be some imbalances there chemically that need to be addressed. And all of this describes pain. And this pain is real in the hearts of many people. In fact, the Bible says the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. That's Proverbs 14 and verse 10. You know what you're going through is what that means. You know what pain you're up against, and you know what battles you're conflicted with. We all have them. And people may not know them, and people may not understand the depth of them. But obviously our God does. And He doesn't want us to be people who respond inappropriately to this lack of peace. But it happens. There are people that do. I think of a Christian who took his life, and in one of the last statements he said was that I'm going to try and find peace. And that's why he did what he did. And this was an older man. Christians do this. People do this. And I can tell you that's not the solution. By a long shot, that is not the solution to a lack of peace. One of the neatest stories I came across, and it was probably shared by somebody in here, but it was on Facebook, and it was the story of a man who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge because he felt like he was a burden to people. He felt like he was a burden to his family, and that there was no getting past this. He talked about how he was depressed. He believed everyone was out to hurt him, and he thought nobody cared. And so his only solution was to take his life, and he did this by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, which 2,000 people have done before him to end their life. But of all those thousands of people that did this, 20 people survived that fall, and he was one of them. And he said this, and you need to look this up on Facebook. It's a profound interview. But he said, what I'm about to say to you is the exact same thing every other survivor has said. The moment I jumped over that rail, I knew in a millisecond that I had made a mistake. Thousands of people had done that before him, realizing, okay, I've made a bad choice here, but they didn't survive it. He was 1% that did. And it changed his perspective on life. It changed his view of life. He appreciates life a whole lot more. It's made him a better person. He lives with gratitude. He lives with a spirit of service. And he is no longer focused on himself. Well, I can tell you, that's not the solution. God doesn't want us to take our life in response to our issues. Again, the issues are real. I'll repeat it. The heart knows its own bitterness. We all have battles. And so in light of this, what can we do to find peace of mind? And what I find from the Word of God is there is a hope. There is a message of hope. In fact, the Bible does say in Proverbs 12 and verse 25 that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Well, that's what I want. I want to hear that good word. How do we get over this? How do we respond to this? How do we find peace if we don't have peace? And I've opened the Word of God and have found three things I believe that can help us in addressing this matter. And one is this right here, and it's a very important point, and it's the key point to everything else, and that is we have to be at peace with God. If we want peace of mind, true peace of mind, total elimination of fear and guilt, then we've got to make this right here. We've got to be reconciled to our God. And until we do that, we will not have true peace. Now notice that there is such a thing as a false peace, and then there's something as a true peace. Notice the distinction in Jeremiah chapter 6 when the people of God were conflicted with various things that they were doing in violation of His will, and God was sending the prophets to warn them to repent of their rebellion. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 6, and I'll read verses 13 through 15, where the prophets were telling the people, or as God was saying, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. So here was a group of people who was hearing the message from these false prophets of peace. Everything's okay, when everything was not okay. And so God wanted them to know that until they made these things right, until they removed that cancer, they could not heal. They had to repent. And so these guys that were encouraging them to remain in their rebellion were actually teaching a false peace. Well, I want true peace. I don't want the artificial stuff. I want the real peace. And that, of course, comes from God. Jeremiah chapter 8, notice where it says again, in this context, Jeremiah chapter 8, in verse 15, we looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and there was trouble. In verse 21, for the hurt of the daughter of my people I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? So I believe these verses are making the point that there was nothing in the world that could comfort these people. There was no balm. There was no medicine. There was no other physical solution to their issue. The only way they were going to be at peace was if they made their life right with God. And until they did that, they could not have the release that they were looking for. And from what I understand, that's exactly how it is today. That when we know we're in rebellion to God, there is no way. You can take a pill all day long, but you're not going to have peace. You may dismiss it from your mind, numb your feelings to it, but there's no real peace. The reason that's so, and I think this is right, is because we're made in the image of God. Okay, there's a part of God within us. And whenever we're not in sync with that God, when we're out of harmony with that God, there's just no way for us to be one with ourselves. Mentally, it cannot happen because we're conflicted with our Creator and our Maker. And this is real. A brother and friend of mine years ago told me about this. But he knew of this Christian woman who was having a breakdown. And it got to the point where they admitted her to the hospital and they couldn't understand what was happening. The family couldn't understand. The doctor couldn't understand. Her body was shutting down. And they just could not, they could not relieve this woman. And this was going on for a period of time. And he was there. He had firsthand knowledge of all of this. And then he said that she called us in one night to talk to her. And that night she brought them in. She confessed that what she was doing was she was having an affair with one of her, with her father-in-law, is what it turned out to be. And it was something that she could not dismiss. It was something that she could not accept. And it was just plaguing her mind. Very painful moment. Very painful scene for the husband, for everybody there. Very, just very difficult matter. Well, my friend says you wouldn't believe what that did for her. Almost instantaneously, she began to heal. She began to make her way toward recovery. Almost immediately, as a result of confessing that sin and making things right with God, immediately she found peace and her body began to heal. Now friends, I'm telling you, this is real. There is no balm in Gilead as long as we're in rebellion. We have to be at peace with God. And the wonderful news is we serve a God who is rich in mercy, who wants to forgive us and is ready to take us back once we humble ourselves and realize and confess where we have done wrong and realize our need for Him. And He is so rich in mercy. In Romans chapter 5, notice again the connection between peace and forgiveness and the hope that it gives. Romans chapter 5 says this in verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So if I'm conflicted, one of the things I must ask myself is why? Why am I conflicted? And it could be that I am not living with God like I should. But as these verses point out, there is hope. You can find hope by making things right with God. Things can turn around. We don't have to be people who are defeated by despair. Came across a really neat story of a young lawyer years ago who suffered from deep depression. It was so deep that his friends thought it was best to keep all the knives and razors out of his reach. He questioned his life's calling and the prudence of even attempting to follow it through. During this time, he wrote, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not." But somehow, that man received the encouragement he needed and went on to become one of our nation's finest presidents. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Can you imagine that? A man who was at such a depth of despair in his life where, don't even know why I'm here. I just don't know what good I can do. And was able, of course, to turn that around. Well, I can tell you can have that. You and I can have that. It does not matter where we are mentally. Things can get better. And they can especially get better when we are right with God, and especially in Jesus Christ. Notice why Jesus wants us to come to Him. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, the reason He is pleading with us to follow Him in faith is so that we can have peace. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, the Bible says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so if I can believe that and accept that, that I serve a Savior who has defeated this world and He can give me victory over this world, and that he wants me to have peace by being right with him, then I can know that through him I can do all things. And I can accomplish all things through Christ who strengthens me. But obviously, if we're not in Christ, we need to be in Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 through 4, that's how we enter the body of Christ. But until then, we cannot have true peace. And so we have to understand, rejecting the truth, all it does is compound our problem. We have to accept the truth and yield to it. And so make peace with God. Number two, I believe the Bible teaches that if we want peace of mind, then we have to make peace with other people. And certainly Jesus has taught this in many ways, but his word shows us that God expects us to be people who do our part to be reconciled to people. In Hebrews chapter 12, notice where it says in verse 14, and this kind of goes on with what we're talking about, or what we did talk about in our class the other night from 1 Peter. But in Hebrews it says, in chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so we understand that he wants it to be people who work it out. He wants it to be people who are given to this type of commitment, to be peacemakers. And yet we're tempted that when people injure us or people hurt us, we're tempted to respond in a selfish manner. I'll get even with that person. After what they did to me, I'll never make peace with them. They wronged me for the last time. He did me wrong. I'll never trust him again. And that's a response we can have. But in doing that, guess what we're doing? We're depriving ourselves of peace. By having that hurtful spirit in responding in that manner, refusing to forgive those who do injury against us and harboring ill will, all we're doing is adding depression to our heart. That's all we're doing. In James chapter 3, if we want release from that pressure, then we have to forgive. We have to be people who don't hold ill will against people. In James chapter 3, it's good for us physically, mentally, spiritually to be forgiving people. In James chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 13 beginning, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done with in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Well, we can find reasons to hate those who injure us. And it's just a waste of life and it's a waste of time. I think of these people that had a falling out. They were relatives. One accused the other of stealing, and there was just no real evidence. It was just an accusation. But the division was there and the bitterness was there, and a waste of time occurred for years where there was just this chasm in that relationship, and it affected other people in the family. Waste of time. And that's what God is teaching us, to just let that stuff go, to be willing to forgive and not hold ill will. And as it says here in the context, that the wisdom that is from above is yielding. But if you have self-seeking in your hearts, then of course it's going to lead to division. And that, my friends, will not only lead to division, it leads to depression. When we are self-seeking, when we're thinking only of ourselves and our own pleasures and what we want, all we're doing is crippling ourselves mentally. That selfishness is a root of depression. But if you want to overcome this lack of peace, overcome this anxiety in the heart, one thing to do is stop thinking so much about yourself and start serving other people. Start praying for other people and make yourself a servant. It's better to give than to receive. To empty yourself and become a person who is given to the service of other people. Notice where Jesus says this in Mark chapter 9. And it's just true. You want to feel good about yourself and feel good about life, go serve somebody And it does change things for us. In Mark chapter 9, notice where it says in verse 33, beginning, he came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last, and servant to all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." So his point was, you guys are fighting, you're competing, you're trying to climb all over one another to dominate each other. And in this kingdom, it's not going to be like that. If you put yourself first, you're going to come in last. But if you put yourself last, you're going to come in first with Jesus. Because he's a Savior who expects us to serve and to give. And from what I can see, not only from the Scriptures, but also from everyday life, whenever I'm most miserable, it's when I'm selfish. And I'm thinking of myself, my issues, my problems, my needs, my desires, my wants, what I want. And yet, almost instantaneously, when I think of other people, go out and do something for other people, pray for other people, help other people bear their burdens, almost immediately, it helps eliminate or alleviate my own. And so if we want to find greatness in the kingdom of Christ, we have to be at peace with other people. Let me say one other thing. Make peace with God. Make peace with other people. But if you and I want peace of mind, there's another person we have to make peace with. And that is, we have to make peace with ourselves. I have yet to meet a Christian who does not have regret. We all have done things that we wish we would not have done that do not define who we want to be and who we strive to be even today, and yet we still let these past sins define who we are as a person. And the blood of Christ does not require that. In fact, one of the grand features of the covenant that God is making with us through Christ is that because of what Jesus has done for us and the forgiveness of sins, we have through Him, it says in Hebrews chapter 10 that He is able to forgive us entirely to where these things do not have to come up again. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 17, talking about the new covenant through Christ, which the context is talking about that. And He says, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." No more. It's over. Once those sins are forgiven, they're in the past, and they don't come up again, is what God says. These things are over with. And if God has forgiven us, and if we're in Christ, and if we have made things right with Him through Christ, let go of the past. There's no reason for us to keep redefining ourselves with our past mistakes, especially when God has forgiven us. But you know as well as I do that it's hard to do that. And in not doing that, all we're doing is plaguing ourselves with burdens that remove our peace and remove our happiness. And it just doesn't have to be that way. And all we have to do is change our thinking. All we have to do is change our faith and change our emphasis, and we can have that peace that we're praying for and looking for by forgiving ourselves. Yes, we made mistakes. Yes, we did. But God has forgiven us. And so it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That again, going back to making things right with God. You make things right with God, you're going to have peace. You live for the flesh, yeah, you will have regret. But if you've been forgiven of that, let go of it. And don't keep bringing these things back up, especially when God has forgiven you of all your wickedness. And that, my friends, is something that we need to take to heart. Because I'll repeat it again, that nobody can know the burdens of our heart like we do. Nobody can. And nobody can share in its joy, certainly, but no one can know the burdens we're facing. And these things indeed are real for those who are trying to live life apart from God and without His will. In 1835, a man went to the doctor in Italy, Florence, Italy. And he was anxious, and he had his issues. He was exhausted from a lack of sleep. He couldn't eat. He avoided friends. The doctor examined him and found that he was in good physical condition. Concluding that his patient needed to go and have a good time, he told his patient that there was a circus in town, and its star performer was a clown named Grimaldi. Night after night, he had the people rolling in the aisles. He says, "You need to go see this man. You must go and see him, and he will help you. Grimaldi is the world's funniest clown. He'll make you laugh and cure your sadness." The man said, "No, he can't help me. He can't help me because I'm Grimaldi." Again, we know what's in our heart, okay? We know what pains we're facing. And until we turn to God, you cannot have that peace you're looking for. I love these words here. If you don't get anything else out of the sermon, get Philippians 4, 6, and 7, because this will help you, and this will help me. Philippians chapter 4 says this in verses 6 and 7, where it warns us, again, be anxious for nothing. All right, when you're anxious, when you're worried, who do you take it to? Well, here's what he says to do. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's where the peace is right there. By turning to God and leaning on Him and trusting Him, praying to Him, being grateful to Him, gratitude, again, thankful for the blessings He has given us, and then letting these requests be made known and then leaving it with Him. Trusting Him to provide, trusting Him to answer that prayer and to lead us. And He will guard our hearts and minds in ways that we can't understand, in ways we can't even anticipate. It says right there, He will protect us. And so, friends, I encourage us to be spiritually minded. Let God rule. Let His will define our life. And in doing that, let us forgive ourselves and let go of the past. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then it goes on to say, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3 in verse 15. There's a lot right there. That one of the best things we can do to find release is to be grateful. To count our many blessings and be thankful for what God has done for us. And thankful, of course, for His rich mercy. But listen, you can find peace with yourself. I'm not holding them against you, is what God says. That's my covenant with you. I will remember these things no more. If you've made them right and they're forgiven, well, they're in the past. Let them go. Don't hold these things against you anymore. Trust in the mercy of God and move forward. Well, I know more could be said, and you've listened very patiently, and I appreciate that. But I share these thoughts, friends, because there is no reason in the world for us to be people who are plagued with burden and fear. And I understand, I'm the first one to understand what it's like to be like that. But there it is. The peace of God will guard you if you turn to Him, and especially turn to Him in prayer. And so, I hope that you have that tonight. Are you reconciled to God? Are you at peace with Him? And until you make things right with Him, you cannot get rid of that guilt. You cannot get rid of that shame. You cannot get rid of that burden and that fear. And it can be forgiven. If you're not in Christ, you can become a Christian. All things are possible to help you do that even tonight. Or if you've done that and need to make things right with Him, in a private way, make it right. He'll forgive us. If it's in a public way, then humble yourself and God will lift you up. But I hope and pray that this sermon is of source of encouragement to you. And if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, please do so as we stand and sing.